I didn't do the homework. Under most circumstances, that would be an academic death sentence because you fail. But Mr. Keating isn't exactly most circumstances, and he looks at this young man, Todd Anderson, and sees that he lacks confidence. He sees himself as an embarrassment. He's always being compared to his older brother, and not in the good way. You're just never going to live up to that standard. His parents have his entire life planned out, yet they can't even seem to remember what they gave him last year for his birthday, since they gave him the same thing twice, a beautiful desk set for his desk. But when Mr. Keating looks at him, he sees something inside of him and decides to take this moment, I didn't do my homework, as a very teachable moment and to do some development work. I started my life in computers, and anybody that doesn't know, that's the career that I originally went to college to do. That was going to be my life's calling, was to be a computer guy. And I started it as a computer operator. And that sounds, ooh, a computer. Let me tell you what that is. That means I spent my time running somebody else's programs. I would sit at a terminal, and I would type in little things at a command prompt. Sometimes when I type things in, I'd have to get up and take an action, like load a certain kind of paper into a printer, put a tape on a reel-to-reel device. Yes, I actually am old enough to have worked with a reel-to-reel device. Sometimes I would answer the prompt, and the prompt would ask me a series of questions. I had to answer all of those questions to get the computer to do what it was supposed to do. And to make things worse, I was a third shift operator, which means I did this all at night. And it was a very monotonous and tedious and boring job. But you start somewhere, right? And so later on, I got to become a programmer. And what that meant for me was that somebody gave me input. For me, I was a data programmer, so they handed me data. And I would use various languages and multiple steps to throw out the data that was not important and mark up the data that was needed. And the goal was to get the data into a standardized format that we could load into a shared space that we call a database. Maybe we should have called it a church, right? Isn't that kind of what we do? We mark people up to make them fit into the church. It was a great fit for me because guess what? It was like having a new puzzle every single day, and I love puzzles. Never leave your word search book out when I'm coming over to your house because I will sit there and work them and work them. I am very good at finding data in word searches. But then one day somebody came along and said, you know what? You're not a programmer. You're a developer. What's the difference? Well, as a programmer, I started out with defined input and defined output. Just the goal was to get one to be like the other, right? As a developer, they hand you a blank slate. Then you have to go and talk to people. They call them users. And you have to sit there and with this user, and you must listen to the issues they have and how they would like you to improve their life. A lot of times when my kids ask me what I do for a living, I tell them it's listen to people's hopes, wants, and dreams and tell them they can't afford them. Because that's what you do as a developer. And after you listen, you have to sit down and you have to formulate a plan on how you think you can meet their need. Then your plan has to be built, and all along the way, you have to keep interacting with the user. I don't get to take my requirements and go off to my office and build my program and come back and say, ta-da! Here it is. No, you have to keep going back and showing them. And then the thing is, as you go through this process and you show them things, they're like, no, that's not exactly what I had in mind. Or, did I say that? That has nothing to do with what I really need. And oftentimes, by the time you're done developing, it never even looks like what you started off to build at all. Why? Because we introduced the user into the process. And as much as I would like to make it happen, you can't program a person. Although sometimes I do wish there was some reset buttons and I could get in there and move some switches around and it would all work, but life just doesn't work that way. And if you're wondering, what does this have to do with anything? it's today's law. It's really important. Because today we're going to talk about the law of development, which is real church growth is about growing people, not managing programs. Now, I say that word programs, and we can start ticking them off, can't we? Children's program, ladies program, worship program. We have programs, and I want to make sure I say this loud and clear. This is working, right? Yeah, this is working. There's nothing wrong with programs. As a matter of fact, programs can be used to aid in development. That's because development and programs have many similarities. Both of them require input, right? When I was a programmer, they gave me data. When I'm a developer, they give me people. Guess which one I work better with? The data, because it has to do what I say. The user, not always. But both require input, and both have an output. I mean, I don't write a program with no goal in mind, right? And I certainly don't try to develop a person with no object where I'm going with this. It's not like I just make it up as I go, although sometimes I do feel like it. Both are going to take time, energy, and resources. So if you put a program in place, you're just committing time, you're committing energy, you're committing money or whatever resources it is to run that program. And if you decide you're going to develop a person, then you're going to be doing the same thing. It's going to take time and energy and resources. So they have some similarities. However, I want to show you some stark differences between program and development. And this is very important, especially in a church environment, because programs use steps. Development uses stages. Okay? So if I've got a program, I've got step one you got to do, followed by step two, started by step three. When I've got a development, it really is more like stages. Think about a kid. So when is a kid no longer a kid and they're an adolescent? Well, we like to think around 12 or 13, but I've met some 9-year-olds that I think are very adolescent-ish, and I've met some 16-year-olds that I think are still very childish. Okay, so this idea here is not that there's an actual cutoff. It's more of a stage, and we have to kind of look at the person and decide what stage they're at. And programs are a static process. Development must be fluid and adaptable. So if I've got a program, I've got like the magic 10 steps, and I put them all into place, and you start at step one, and when you make it to step 10, what are you? Done. You completed the program. Development doesn't work that way. You know, I might start out here, and we might be moving forward, and I got to take a couple steps back, and I got to start again. And we might actually start back at square one several times before we actually get to where we're going. Development is more like therapy, I think. There really isn't like this magic thing that you do to make it work, which is kind of sad. I'd love to be able to just put some instructions in place and it all just works the way I want it to work. But we need to remember that programs absolutely focus on process. Development focuses on product. If you've ever done a program, whether it's been to lose weight or whatever it is, they're always looking at, well, how are you doing in the step? They're looking at in the moment. They're trying to look at the process before they move you to the next step. They make sure you got that. They do this in school, right? They want to make sure you've got your pieces before they move you forward. In a process, we're looking at the end goal. It may take you a year. It may take you 8 years. It's not about steps. It's not about the process. We're looking at what the finished product is supposed to be. Programs are designed for groups. Development is for individuals. Have you ever noticed that programs never usually talk about people? They talk about what people are supposed to be doing. Think about that. We're always putting things on the calendar, things that people are supposed to, because the goal of a program is to get you to do things in order to get the result that the program wants to happen. In a development process, it's more about me sitting down with you and saying, what's going on in your life? Where are you at in your life? What needs to be talked about in your life? Where are you today? And then we sit down and we talk about what needs to come next to get you to where you want to be. Programs are driven by activities and events and developments by accomplishments. Programs, you check the box whenever you complete the activity, right? Today, you're going to check the box. Somebody's going to ask you if you came to church, right? And you're going to say, yep, showed up, depending on Sunday school or worship, shut up between somewhere around 9:30, 10:30, and depending on how long we do this today, but you know what? You check the box. What if I asked you, did you come to worship? Some of us would go, yep, I did that. That starts at 10. Really? Did you come to worship? Are you here for the program? Or are you here for the development? The process of it all. Programs start with I teach you. Development starts with I learn from you. And this is huge. Whenever you can always tell when you're heading down the path of a program, because you set somebody down, you say, this is what you're supposed to do to get from here to there. Because they're going to tell you how it's supposed to be done. If I'm developing somebody, I have to sit down and say, so where do we start? What's going on in your life? What are you struggling with? I mean, I'm not here just to put a label on you to say you completed some program. We are supposed to be interested in developing people. So today, we are going to talk about becoming a developer and not a programmer. And if you'd like to turn to Colossians chapter 1, this is one of those sermons. I'm actually going to stay put for the most part. So if you would like to turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. And Paul writes these words, and I think they're a good example of what the difference is. For this reason, since the day I heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing to him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and impatience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people. So when we, the church, start talking about developing people, it does not start with a program. It can't. If you think you've got the magic steps to make all the teenagers good little people, please write a book, because you'll have a best-selling book, because all the parents will want it if you actually have that kind of a process. If I could fix a men's ministry with steps, I do it, but it can't be done. It takes development. It takes connecting points between people. And I like what Paul says, because that starts with this thing that we call prayer. Yeah, I know, you can have no surprise here that we're going to start here, because today is one of those prayer Sundays. And so, yes, this was done on purpose, okay? This was planned this way to put this sermon here, because this all starts with all the idea of prayer. But I do want you to see that it's a specific way that we're supposed to pray. Prayer started at hearing, because we cannot develop people if we do not listen. It's one thing to pray a generic prayer for somebody I've never met. It's an entirely different thing for me to start praying for people when I've been sitting around listening to their problems. Okay, that changes the way that I pray. Because now I'm no longer praying for a shell. I am praying for somebody who I see their needs. I see their hurting. I see their struggling. I see it. And I think a lot of times that our prayer life is only about ankle deep is because we don't take enough time to listen to what's going on in people's lives. And we think that we can just, I'll pray for that. And so we just read it off the list. And we have no idea what's really going on in that person's life. All we just see is, hey, here's what they wrote on the piece of paper, so I'll just pray for that. And, well, here's the other thing, is prayer does not stop. Think about that. Prayer should be wrapped around the development from beginning to end. What does he say? We pray continuously from the moment we heard until the prayer request is answered. That's how long we're going to pray. We're going to keep praying. And prayer doesn't mean I just keep asking. It means I should be calling you back and saying, hey, how's it going? You still struggling with that? You got things going on. How's it going? But let's face it. We're people that we like to put things on the list, and we take our list home. And I sit there and we call that praying for you because I read it off of the list and I mentioned it to God. This is what happened with Paul. He's listening and going back to the user and saying, hey, how's it going? Let's develop a relationship. And well, Paul didn't mention it, but I'm going to go back and pick this up. And I know we've been through this a few times. It's not just about praying for them. It's praying with them, folks. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, Mary, and the mother of Jesus and his brothers. So this idea that I'm not just supposed to pray for you. I should be praying with you. I am guilty a lot of times of people will call me and say, hey, I've got a prayer request. Or they'll text me, I've got a prayer request. Or I'll get an email, I've got a prayer request. And I'm really quick to say, okay, I'll jot that down and I'll pray for it. Really what I should do is say, okay, I'm not in traffic, so I'm not going to run over anybody if I do this right now. I really should stop right at that moment and say, well, let's pray with you about it. But in my hurry to get to the program, I've forgotten about developing the people along the way because I'm just too busy. So I guess the question becomes, so if I'm going to start actually praying for people in the church, what should I ask for? And okay, I know people have physical needs and they have spiritual needs and they have financial needs and those are all good prayers to pray for people, but those aren't the development prayers. Paul talks about what the development prayers are. We continue to ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will and the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. And so the first thing he says is, I'm going to pray that God will give you the knowledge of his will. And folks, when we start thinking about God's will, let's face it, we start thinking program. Here I am. There's where I want to be. What's the next step? So I do that step. Okay, God, I did that. What's next? Okay, God, I did that. Now what's next? And we think that is how we determine God's will. And God never intended his will to be some cosmic jigsaw puzzle. He didn't give you all the pieces to your life, and his will is for you to figure out how they all fit together. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul tells us, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And in that verse, I hope you do see it, right? The only way to figure out God's will is to change your mindset. It says renew your mind. That's important. Renew my mind, change my mindset to stop looking for the next step and start looking to develop relationships. I learn a lot when I come here to church on Sunday mornings. Do you know where I learn the most? I hate to tell you guys, you're awful late for church. If you're not here at 8 o'clock, you miss the best lesson in the universe. And there's a class of 3 right now, but all are invited to come. Because we get here about 8 o'clock, and while we are doing ministry, powering on the building and getting ready for this, oh my gosh, some of the conversations we have, some of the prayers that we pray, they're not all super spiritual. But you understand, I have been developed a lot over the years by coming here and not doing a program, but just by meeting with a couple of gentlemen that are way smarter than me. And they know a lot more about life than me, only because they've been here longer, okay? But I can learn from God's will when I show up and I'm ready to be developed. Of course, it isn't just about getting my head straight. We're supposed to have understanding that the Spirit gives. And of course, we know the written word is not the only thing that we get. God's word is not just the only thing. It's not just about reading the Bible, right? There's another whole big part of all of this. If I don't have this connection with the Spirit, I can come and read Scripture. I can come and listen to people give me advice. If I'm not taking it and getting it connected with God, it's just not going to work because he gave us the Spirit. When the advocate comes, whom I will send. So he didn't just wander into the room because he was lost. He didn't say, well, you know, Jesus left, and I guess there's a filled vacancy now, so I guess I'll step in. No, he was sent. when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. You know, we forget that in the New Testament, the Bible, the thing that we usually use to try to figure out God's will, to read the scriptures, that didn't show up until much later in church history. But even after it was completed, the average person didn't have it. They used to gather around to hear the written word. It really wasn't until this guy invented the thing called the printing press that people got their own copy of Scripture. But did you ever really pay attention to Acts chapter 2, how on the very first day everybody got the Spirit? Think about that. We actually get the picture wrong because we think it's 12 little guys sitting in a semicircle, and the little flames came and showed up over top of the 12 little guys, and those 12 little guys got the Spirit, and the rest of them are like, ooh, look at the show that's going to happen. That's not what it says. It says everybody that was a believer got the Spirit. From day one, you got the Spirit. The moment you said, I want to be a follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit stepped into your life. And guess what he's there for? Development. He's there as a development guide on your journey with Jesus. And you know where is the best place to interact with the Holy Spirit? Okay, maybe the traffic jam, right? I need some Holy Spirit when I'm sitting in traffic. I really do. When I'm dealing with users, I need some Holy Spirit, but that isn't where I learn the most from the Holy Spirit. Nope. How about Romans chapter 8, verse 27? And he who searches our hearts and knows our mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with God's will. Paul's talking about prayer. See, when I neglect my prayer life and I try to substitute it for some kind of a program, then I have no way of letting the Spirit interact in my life and say, hey, how's your life going, Barry? You know, that's what the Spirit does when you pray. Yes, he intercedes, but intercede doesn't mean he talks to God. It means that he listens to me because he wants to know about my life. So this is what we're supposed to be doing in our development process in our church. We're supposed to be introducing people to knowledge of God's will, scripture reading, people, going to classes is fine, nothing wrong with program classes. And we're also supposed to be focusing people on learning more about the Spirit. But I'm a programmer, okay? I started my life as a programmer, and so you know what you want when you're looking at this, right? I missed a slide here. Yeah, you want to have your results. I'm in the right place. All right. So here I am. I'm listening to praying each week, knowing each other. I'm reading and studying. These are the slides I should have just done a few minutes ago. See, I get ahead of myself. I'm seeking to understand from the Spirit. Now I want to know. How do I know it's working? How do I know that I am developing you? Think about that. How do you know? I know your church more often. Maybe. Maybe not. I know you read your Bible at least 3 days a week. Okay. How do you know? Well, when you look in Colossians, Paul gives us some telltale signs that we, the church, should be looking at one another and saying, do I see these in your life? So here's the thing. If you miss your blanks, you can just go grab these right out of Scripture because my points come right out of Scripture. See, the first thing he tells us is we are to live a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing in every way. I am never going to be worthy because I struggle with this thing that's called sin. But in my development life, I have a question. Do you think the way you live your life brings a smile to God's face? Think about that for a moment. Do you think the way that you live your life brings a smile to God's face? I can picture that. Is what I'm doing got a smile or a frown, right? We can have little emojis for this, right? So is what I'm doing going to bring a smile to God's face? And as you read Scripture and pray, and God identifies areas that are not pleasing, are you willing to change? It's one thing to say, yeah, what I'm doing just doesn't work, but then I just keep doing it. That is not living a life worthy. That is basically ignoring the life that's being presented. Are you willing to seek change? Because if you're not, you're never going to develop. You're gonna sit here, and let me just tell you something. We're going to be here 10 years from now, and you're still going to be telling me the same story. Because you're not developing. Because you're not interested in living the life worthy of being called. It doesn't say you were worth it. It just says that you have to be worthy. And as you live that life worthy of the life that you were called to, just know that he sticks this in here, and I love this, bearing fruit in every good work. Baby trees! Right? How do I know I am developing? Because around my life, I have a bunch of baby trees. I am supposed to bear fruit. Is the life you're living bringing others into a relationship with him? If the answer is no, then odds are you are trying to follow a program and you are not being developed. And you're not growing. Because you're just completing steps and checking boxes. This is a huge sign for our church. True development is not just things being done to and for you, but the ability to do for others what was done for you. That's when you know you're developing. When you see your life not as, hey, what do I get? How do I pass? How do I take what was given to me and I give it to the next person? Now, that may be your child. It may be your grandchild. It may be a stranger on the street. I don't know where your fruit's going to come from, but there should be fruit. And if not, you're not developing. Okay, next. Growing in the knowledge of God. Now, this is not about gaining more information. I'm not interested if you can win a game of Jeopardy playing God, okay? I don't. Because the phrase is not knowledge about God. So you're not supposed to be able to tell me more about God and the more trivia. This isn't a game of Trivial Pursuit, although maybe it's kind of trivial if trivia is all we pursue. This is about the relationship growing and the knowledge of God. I knew a lot about my wife before we got married. We dated for 4 years, and were engaged for another year before we got married. That's a long time. Okay, I knew a lot about her, but let me tell you something. I know a lot more about her today because we're getting close to being married for 30 years. I know a lot more. Sometimes I think I might know more about her than she knows about herself, and she tells the same thing about me. And that's because our relationship has developed. Beyond just gathering the facts and the things like, do I like this person? We are now to the point that we live with this person every day. Sometimes more than we really want to. But that's the development of a relationship. And that's what he's talking about when it says developing in the knowledge of God. Do you know more of God than you knew yesterday or a week ago? Or do you just simply know more about God? One is steps, the other is development. Are you starting to see the clear difference between these two? That means you know it, but it also means you practice it. Hence, we go back to the living the life worth calling and the bearing fruit because you're putting in practice your knowledge of God. Okay, you knew the bike had to be here somewhere, right? I love this because it says, being strengthened with all power according to his gracious might, so you may have endurance and patience. So I've put the words in black there of how you mark whether or not you are developing. Are you stronger today than you were before? I'm talking about in the Lord. I'm not talking about you can lift more weight. And it's like my knee hurts. I ain't stronger than anything. Is your faith stronger today? Are you more patient today? Now, this does not mean that you become more patient with people. Are you more patient in waiting on God than you used to be? I don't know about that. I'm kind of like the microwave popcorn kind of Christian. I want to put it in the microwave and push 3 minutes and get my popcorn back. Yeah, that's kind of, but if you are developing, you become more patient And when you become stronger and you become more patient, that adds to your endurance. These are the signs, folks. If we're still a very impatient people, then you understand we're not developing. We're not growing as individuals. I forgot my bike analogy. See, I'm looking at the clock too much. I got to get clock out of my head. I'm thinking clock. Got to get clock out of my head because I remember when I started this whole bike exercise. Everybody knows I love to ride bikes. When I started this thing, it was just during COVID, and it was done because I just wanted to get out of the house by myself. So I started riding bike, and the first time I went back to riding the bike, I was lucky if I could get a mile, which is down to the end of our little thing and back. And I come in all covered with sweat. And you think I just ran the New York Marathon. I mean, but that's what I did. Today, I can get on that bike, and we can go about 13 miles. I still come back all sweaty. But you understand, 13 miles would have been impossible just simply 3 or 4 years ago. How did I do it? One pedal at a time. That's endurance. That's patience. And now we can talk about this last one. How do you know you're developing? Giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Yeah. So if I'm truly developing, at some point I'm going to develop this thing called gratitude. It's interesting, you know, we're going to be celebrating in a few weeks, right? What's it going to be? Thanksgiving. Have you ever noticed that in America we're not very grateful? We celebrate Thanksgiving by excess. We put more food than we could possibly eat on the table. And probably in about a week after Thanksgiving, we're going to be throwing most of it out in the trash can because we're tired of it. Is that gratitude? That's not what gratitude looks like. Gratitude is my ability to stop and just kind of focus for a moment. Gratitude says that I'm supposed to be joyful when I come to this thing called prayer. However, as you begin to develop, you begin to see thankfulness is a lot more. Thankfulness is about us acknowledging who God is in our life. Thus today, we're going to try a little experiment in our prayer time. Don't you love it when I use that word? You're like, oh gosh. Let's yalt.